Right, well, I'm going to start by introducing you to somebody. I do like a nice bishop. And Winston Tallapoo is a particularly inspiring one. He's a lovely bishop. Jonathan Charlie and I heard him speak at the Greenbelt Festival over the August bank holiday. His father was the first Tongan Anglican priest. And Winston is now Archbishop of Polynesia, an area which is seeing firsthand the effects of climate change. In his country, Tonga, oh my word, just look at it. It's your actual paradise, isn't it, really? But it's seeing firsthand the effects of climate change. Rising sea levels have already made many people climate refugees as smaller islands are overtaken by the ocean. Homes, livelihoods, family land owned and tended for centuries, graves of the ancestors, traditions going back thousands of years, having to be left behind because it's just not possible to survive there any longer. And the reason for that is not at this moment because the seas are overtaking those islands, but because of the rising salt water, that salt water is getting into the land itself, and it means that crops and springs are being polluted by the salt water. So it's just uninhabitable. They're becoming uninhabitable. In time, they will completely disappear under the water, gone forever. Literally, there's no going back. They're gone. So not surprisingly, when faced with those realities, he campaigns vigorously for climate justice and was a really important voice in the Paris Agreement negotiations. At Greenbelt, he described how rising sea levels are threatening, dislocating and impoverishing communities across the Pacific. It's well documented and it's well known. But he also preached on what he calls Moana theology. Now, last year, there was a Disney film called Moana. You may have seen something about it. The central character was a girl in ancient Polynesia. And Moana is a popular girl's name across the Pacific. It literally means ocean. Hang on, I'm just going to... But it actually holds so much more meaning than that. In Polynesian and Fijian tradition, Moana is the ancient oceanic pathway through which the spirits find their way to the ancestral homeland, to a life beyond death. But following on from that, the word Moana particularly speaks of the depths of the sea, the hidden life of the ocean, its currents, the way the waters and the oceans flow into each other, interconnected, interdependent. It resonates with mystery and a deep, deep connection with creation generally and with human life. And Archbishop Winston's written this really lovely book called The Waves of God's Embrace, which outlines his Moana theology, a theology of the ocean. In it, he says, people of Oceania have for centuries experienced Moana as an experience of oneness. The activities of Moana are always in relationship. The currents, the rhythm of the waves, both in the depths and on the surface, interacting with heavenly bodies, the stars and the planets, and with the land. The Moana, with its awesome aspects, serenity, perils, and turbulence, cannot be Moana without the other oceans and seas. A vast ocean flowing into the lagoon of a small island is one with a life-giving, interconnected world. Because, of course, even we are connected by sea to Polynesia. I've never quite thought of that. The English Channel does not feel like it's connected by sea to Polynesia. It may be the other side of the world, but there are places where the oceans all flow into each other. It's all the same ocean in the end, the waters flowing together. They meet somewhere. They flow into and through each other. Archbishop Winston is convinced, in his deep, deep connection to the ocean, of God's care for all things. For him, the waves and the tides and the ocean currents are metaphors for God's love and for the interconnectedness of the environment and all of God's people. Now, our reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians this morning speaks of the way that we are interconnected in Christ. Clearly, each one of us is unique with different strengths, weaknesses, personalities, and gifts. Not just here, although goodness knows as I look around, that's certainly the case. But across the human race, the colour of our skin, the languages that we speak, the place we call home, the clothes we wear, the food we eat, our experience of being human our life stories and the way we tell those stories, all very different, and yet we're all part of Christ's body, the body of Christ. Each part of the body needs all the other parts to function efficiently, and we need to pay attention to the needs of each part for the good of the whole. There should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other, in verse 25. And Paul goes on to say, crucially, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. So when I hear stories about frightened people fleeing from their homes because of war in Syria, or ethnic cleansing in Myanmar, my heart should be breaking for them, because those people are as much made in God's image as I am. And when I see the effects of the hurricanes in the Caribbean and the US and floods in Bangladesh, that actually does have something to do with me, because Jesus came to earth as much for them as he did for me. We're all connected. Now, I'm proud to say that we're an eco-church here in Westcott. Many of you, many of you have heard me talk about it before, but for those not up to speed, it's a way of churches and all of us in them looking carefully at how we walk on the earth that we believe was created by God, and how seriously we take the responsibility, our responsibility as his people, to be good stewards of this extraordinary planet we've been given. And as part of that, to think carefully about our responsibility to each other, to each part of Christ's body. And being part of Eco Church gives us a really fantastically comprehensive framework to look at all areas of our church life through an online survey and see clearly where we need to do some work. So we launched in January, and we managed to get our bronze award at the beginning of the summer. So yay, hooray for us, marvellous. But it's just the beginning. In truth, though, it hasn't been that difficult to get to bronze. We've made some changes, some of which you'll have noticed, some of which are behind the scenes. Like our monthly tradecraft stall, like using cleaning materials that are better for our environment, putting up signs about turning off lights and taps, enjoying the natural world with our children's groups, starting to look at our energy usage across all of our buildings and the way we manage our land in the best way for wildlife and the environment generally. Getting to silver might feel a bit harder. There are still a lot of things the Eco Church group will just get on with behind the scenes. We do have a particular focus at the moment about how we use energy in our buildings and how much we use. And by the way, it is really quite shocking the amount we spend on gas and electricity here in the church itself, considering the number of hours it's actually in use across the week. So we're determined to do a proper audit of that and get some advice on how to be considerably more energy efficient. That feels like kind of baseline, something we really should do. But actually, this next step may demand a little more of us personally, each of us. We're all part of one body. We're all interconnected. And that means that when I watch the news in horror and amazement and see the terrifying, unprecedented power of the hurricanes across the Atlantic, or when I hear from Bishop Winston about people losing their homes and their history to the sea in Polynesia, I should also be thinking about the part I've played in the way the climate has undoubtedly changed. Largely, it has been an unconscious part, but I have to confess and ask forgiveness for the countless times when it's simply been more convenient to go on as I've always done, to just stick my fingers in my ears because I can't be bothered to put in the effort to alter my mindset, to change the way I do things. Other things take over. Though if I was going to be more charitable to myself, it can be because I can't see how anything I could do would actually make a difference. But I'm inspired and encouraged by something Rome Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, has said. It's not that I can make all the difference, but what is the difference that I can make? It's not that I can make all the difference, but what's the difference that I can make? One thing we can do to move towards the Silver Award is to help all of us to think more carefully about the way we tread the planet. So, as an eco group, we will be trying to do this in several ways. I hope not in any bossy, patronising way. It need not come across like that, and I really hope that I'm not putting it across like that. That's not the intention. This is in a collaborative, we're all in this together sort of way. We are all part of one body. we do need to be gently accountable to each other, sharing experiences and learning and comparing notes. That's a good thing. It's not something we need to be frightened of. So as we work towards our silver award, which is for all of us, not just the working group, we're all one body, remember? We'll be making an effort to show you ways that we can all do something, because what we're discovering is that some relatively small things can make quite a big impact. Now, at the moment, the Eco Church is working on a leaflet which points some ways forward for us all. We were hoping to have it done and available to you today, and I'm sorry the summer overtook us. So apologies for that, but we're hoping it'll be with you by the end of the month. It will include 10 pledges, and here are the first five. Oh, gosh, it's a bit small. Anyway, okay, squint, everybody. Not expecting us to do all of them right away, although if you feel that way inclined, please feel free. But start small. Choose a pledge that feels manageable, then maybe try another and another, one step at a time, because everything we do has a knock-on effect, influencing others around us. It's not a competition, but it's a journey to travel together. Small acts are greatly magnified when we act together. For example, you could think about changing energy supplier to one that deals in 100% renewable electricity. We did it a year ago, and it felt really good. And as with any other tariff, you can change between suppliers when you see a better deal. And actually, a year on, I'm thinking of doing that, not least because Rosie Glass told me last week, sorry, put you on the spot, that she'd spotted in a Best Buys email that a company called Bulb were right up there with the best deals available. And she'd like me to tell you that if anyone else wants to sign up to them, then do it through her, because you will get £50 off your bill, and she'll get £50 too, which she says she'll give to Papua Partners. There you go. We could raise some money for Papua Partners here, couldn't we, Peter? It's all good, right? And actually, Rosie, I've done a comparison this week and I would like to talk to you because it's cheaper than Ecotricity, who I'm currently with. So there you go. First £50 to Papua Partners. Or you could get involved in campaigns. There we are. Stand up for the world. Our voices do feel quite insignificant individually, but together we can make a difference. For example, Christian Aid are running a campaign called The Big Shift, asking the banks to stop investing our money, because it's our money, in fossil fuels. There's a petition on the Eco Church board. It would be great if you could sign it. There's more information there as well. In Polynesia and around the world, people's lives and livelihoods are being seriously affected, if not actually destroyed, by the changing climate, driven by carbon emissions from the burning of fossil fuels, largely and disproportionately by us in the West. At the very least, it's leading to more and more people trapped in a poverty that it becomes even more difficult to get out of. Now, earlier, we heard some verses from Winnie from Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus says that the most important things we can do are to love God and love our neighbour. In Luke's version, a nitpicking lawyer asks for details, but who exactly is my neighbour? Jesus obviously isn't caught out by that. That's when he tells the story of the Good Samaritan. So it isn't just about the people over the fence next door, in Dorking, or even in the UK. If I am a follower of Jesus, I need to engage in the fact that he wants to shock me out of my selfishness and my worldliness. He wants me to be passionate about the welfare of people, not just around me, but around the world, the way they're being affected by the things that I do. In Jesus' teachings, our relationship with our fellow men, women, and children is utterly inseparable from our relationship with God. Love of God and love of our neighbours are two aspects of the same calling. Universal love is at the heart of Jesus' teachings. Very simply, it is God's earthly work for us to do. We're all one body, human beings held in the hand of God. Action springs out of love. So in a couple of weeks' time, you will find that specially produced Eco Church Westcott leaflet in your service sheet. It will include the pledges, which I hope will inspire you to act out of love for your neighbour and a sense of responsibility for God's creation. And we also hope that you'll tell us what you've done. There's an Eco Church email address on the board, so you can let us know that way, or talk to one of us in the group. I'm going to put you on the spot. Group, would you please stand so people can see who you are? Mike, Pat, thank you. Malcolm, Sarah, Jackie. Yeah, Alan too. So talk to one of us about what I've talked about the things on the board, about the pledges as they come out, and let us know when you've done things, or be brave and stand up in church and tell us. Maybe we could have an opportunity each month to share that. you know, you're not alone in this. We are doing it together. And I want to emphasize, as I have before, that I'm really at the very, very beginning of this journey. I have a very, very long way to go. So we can all encourage each other. So, Bishop Winston and his theology of the ocean. Theo Moana, speaking about God, Theo, and the ocean, Moana. In the five oceans of the world, there is immense diversity, he says. They are mysterious and interconnected, and their immense mystery and interconnectedness reveal just something of the greatness of our God and the link of us all around the world to each other and to him. Though we may be literally poles apart, each ocean finds its completion in the others. They and we are part of one another, the body of Christ. Thank you.
Thank you very much to Hannah and to all of the Eco Group. This is so becoming integral to who the church in Westcott is, and I pray to all of our lives too, and that we will help one another with the challenges. And it does work. The price of renewable energy is coming down, and that is because people have said we want renewable energy and have turned away from fossil fuels. So it can work, and God is good, and there is always hope when there's God. So we turn to God in prayer. We're going to sing Beauty for Brokenness, the first two verses. That will lead into the confession, and then Mike will lead us in the intercession.
Beauty for brokenness, hope for despair. Lord, in your suffering world, this is our prayer. Bread for the children, justice, joy, peace. Sunrise to sunset, your kingdom increase. Shelter for fragile lives, cures for their ills. Work for the craftsmen, trade for their skills. Land for the dispossessed, rights for the weak. Voices to plead the cause of those who can't speak.